We've got a special guest. Tonight we've got Susan Smith-Jones. Susan, are you there?
Hi, Chris. A joy to be with you.
For a woman with three of America's most ordinary names, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones has certainly made an extraordinary contribution to the field of holistic health, anti-aging, optimal nutrition, and balancing living. For starters, she taught students, staff, and faculty at UCLA how to be healthy and fit for 30 years. Susan is the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to optimal wellness, health education, and human potential. Susan travels internationally as a frequent radio and TV talk show guest and motivational speaker. She's also the author of over 25 books, including Recipes for Health, Bliss, The Joy Factor, and her latest, Walking on Air, Your 30-Day Inside and Out Rejuvenation Makeover, which covers in detail all the topics we're going to discuss within the show today. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Well, I thank you so much. Thank you.
Everybody wants to know a little history behind you. How did you get started in this whole journey and passion of helping people to obtain a healthy lifestyle?
Yeah, you know, it's a wonderful story, if I do say so myself. I was a teenager, and I was close with my grandmother. We always thought she was that kooky health nut. We used to call people in those days who were really into health a health nut. I wasn't into any of that, of course. And then one day, unexpectedly, my dad died, and I didn't handle it well. And for the following 14 to 15 months, I pretty much ate everything in sight. I ate all the wrong kinds of foods, and I developed all these ailments that began with the letter A. I got asthma and acne and allergies and arthritis. I was bullied at school. I didn't want to live anymore. So my grandmother, seeing what was going on with me, in her wisdom, came to me, and by the way, I gained over 40 pounds. And my grandmother said if I would go and live with her for 1 month, she assured me, and I followed everything she told me to do, that all those A ailments would go away, I'd lose the weight, and I'd go from being negative to positive. So it was during the summer, she had my attention, and I didn't know this before I lived with her, because I wasn't into the health stuff she was into. Now, Chris, she was not a doctor, but she was wise in the ways of living close to the earth and natural living. And people from the community, the neighborhood, would come to her, whether it was a bug bite or a earache or a life-threatening disease. And she would tell them what to eat and spices, herbs, foods, and other lifestyle choices to be healthy. So I saw what she did. I followed her program. At the end of 30 days, I was completely healed. And then for 7 years before she passed on, I worked with her. And as a result of her wisdom, to this day, I have never taken any medication in my life, prescription medication, haven't had a cold or a flu in 30 years. And since the early 80s, I now have my private practice where people come to me from around the world or I go to them and teach them how to live close to nature. So that is how I got started.
That's an interesting story. And we've all got our stories of how we got started. And quite often it does take a bad turn in your life for all of a sudden for you to realize that something needs to change and something needs to be looked at within your lifestyle and what you're doing. And that certainly happened for me, let me tell you, in a very big way.
That's so right. She always used to say, my nickname was Sunny because of how positive I was. And she'd say, Sunny, remember that health comes from the farm, not the pharmacy. And what she emphasized more than anything was a positive attitude, how I would look at everything. And she'd always say to me that your attitude is your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. And she taught me that the body reflects the mind and the mind reflects the spirit. It's all intertwined. So the body's a good place to start.
Makes perfect sense to look at things in a simple way, and it's not necessarily a way that you have to research. It's just something you just know. Now, people who do things that aren't so good for themselves, when it comes to this, whether it being using the wrong supplements, whether it doing too many things at once. What is the one biggest thing that you see that the general public is doing to try and get healthy that is actually working in reverse?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind immediately are all these power drinks that have lots of stimulants and caffeine and colorings and flavorings. And, of course, they add some vitamins to them, but they're not great. You know, I mean, what we'll go through today, the acronym I have for the word rejuvenate, it's probably everything that your grandmothers and great-grandmothers told you. It's really getting back to nature and doing what's common sense, but often we just latch on to the latest fad. You know, I know people that are totally into exercise, and sweating is great for you. And my favorite way to exercise is hiking in my local Santa Monica Mountains. But I know some people that aren't even training for a big event, and they'll still put in 4 to 5 hours of training a day. You know, there's something to that saying that balance and moderation in everything.
Have you seen within your practice anybody getting any kind of ill effects or any kind of reverse effects from soy products?
You know, I have. And you've got, first of all, if you eat soy, you really want to make sure it's organically grown. And the best soy to eat would be the more fermented products, you know, like miso. But if I ever happen to have tofu, I don't eat soy very much, very rarely actually. But I make sure that it's organically grown. You got to be careful what's in so many of the products grown today.
And good luck with that, trying to find organic soy in North America. Monsanto,
right.
Thank you very much for spraying it
that
with Roundup
so right.
And changing its DNA. Okay, so everybody's listening and saying, okay, you know what? I want to get healthy. I want to start kicking some bad habits like smoking and alcohol and eating crappy food. What is the best way for somebody to get started? Where do I start? There's this diet, that diet, that diet. There's this stuff on the shelf. There's this commercial playing. What do people need to do to get a sensible start and a healthy start to start changing their life?
Perfect. And you know, that's just what we'll talk about today. And to make it easier to remember, Chris, let's use an acronym. Let's use the word rejuvenate. It's got 10 letters in it. And so we'll do kind of 10 steps. And it's a compliment, I know, everyone knows. It's all together. So, and here's a simple way to start. Let's take the first letter of rejuvenate, which is R. And so for that, and I had to be sort of creative in coming up with the phrases for each letter, so bear with me. But the first letter is R's for revitalize and refresh. And I tell people to remember, and these are all so simple, that the first 40 minutes of the day establishes the tone. So how do you want those first 40 minutes to be? Maybe you get up 10 minutes earlier than your family or 40 minutes earlier. And what I always do is I meditate. My grandmother, as a teenager, taught me how to meditate. So I bookend my day with meditation early morning. I get up probably before any of you listening, before the sun even begins to peak, and I'm meditating. And then I visualize how I would like to see my day the rest of the day. And sometimes I lay out my workout clothes because I'll work out in the morning. Sometimes I set the breakfast table. But I make sure that those first 40 minutes are peaceful, relaxing. You know, I give time for mindful reflection. And remember, it's important to build in breaks during the day. In the morning, you want to welcome that blank slate of the morning and set it aside maybe a few moments for nourishing your body and mind. Now, I know this may sound prosaic, but it's great to make your bed. Some studies show that making the bed in the morning.
Yeah, Chris, I think she's having a little problem with the telephone.
I think so.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but it drops out once in a while. Are you walking around?
Oh, I'm just sitting. I'm not even moving.
Wow.
Maybe
all
your
right.
Phone needs revitalizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I even bought a new cord at Staples this morning, so I had the perfect cord.
Well, let's carry on. I think we're okay. So we left off at revitalizing and refreshing.
Yes, yes. And it's good to begin the day in the morning, first 40 minutes on a very positive note, you know, and then build in a break at lunchtime. Maybe you meditate, maybe you take a little walk. Build in time at the close of the day to connect with yourself, take stock of the day. And I always say, before bedtime, make that a sacred hour. Unplug from technology. Maybe journal or meditate or take a soothing bath. But adding in these protected times to revitalize and refresh will make a profound difference in your overall well-being every day.
So that would help a lot with the mind that's always racing with anxiety before you go to bed. And when you're trying to concentrate on something, it's going to help you to be able to relax a little bit.
Exactly.
So number two is exercise for vitality.
Yes, letter E, exercise. See, when you exercise and you get fit, that is the key to enjoying life, in my estimation. It will unlock your mental power and physical stamina. It puts wings under your confidence, and it gives you that zestful outlook that will help you make each day a celebration. We've got to make physical activity a top priority in our lives. Now, studies show that people who exercise in the morning seem to be the most consistent because the distractions of the day won't interfere with following through. But I always say it doesn't matter when. It's just that you want to get it in at some point during the day, and preferably not right before bedtime because that revs up your metabolism. But no matter what time of day you choose, remember, exercise is a bedrock of vibrant health. And I tell people, Chris, to walk your dog every day, whether you have a dog or not. Henry David Thoreau, I love this saying. I love this. Especially because I'm an early riser and I like to work out in the morning and I love to hike in the mountains. But he said an early morning walk is a blessing for the whole day. It is. You release those endorphins. It makes you more positive, energetic, creative. So, but whenever you get it in, definitely add exercise into your schedule because it's a great way to quell stress.
I was going to say, Chris, you know that I go out with the dog at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And you know what? She is absolutely correct because I feel, I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I mean, I'm not a dead man. You know, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning right now. Most people are going up, you know, they're ready to go off. I still feel like I did when I got up.
At four o'clock in the morning, I'm at work working with people in Australia because their time difference is so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a trigger. It's a trigger to what you do during the day.
Number three is join the breakfast club. Now, I love breakfast.
Yeah.
I know. I did too. And our moms and grandmothers were right. Breakfast is indeed the most important meal of the day. And do you know what the word breakfast means, either of you?
I'm sure you were going to enlighten us.
It means breaking a fast, breakfast, breaking the fast. Studies show that those people who eat a healthy breakfast make better food choices throughout the day and have a better handle on controlling their weight. And one of the best things you can do, this isn't the breakfast, but it's how you would want to start the day, is you want to get a big glass of warm to hot purified water. Whatever your source is, and you want to put the juice of a lemon in it. Because lemons, I mean, I could do a whole hour show on the healing benefit of lemons. They keep your body hydrated, they add vitamin C, they help convert toxins into a water-soluble form that's easily flushed away, and they get the whole digestive system from the mouth to the other end, about 30 feet, going in the morning when you first start with a large glass of hot water to which you've added lemon. Now, I do a little bit more than that. I take my glass teapot, it holds 2 quarts of water, and I use glass because then I know the inside is clean, whereas regular teapots, you can't see inside. And I take fresh ginger root, and I cut off about 3 or 4 coins, about 1/4 inch wide, with the skin on. I also take my turmeric root, and I put them in the teapot, and I bring it to a boil, and I simmer it for 5 to 10 minutes. And so I make hot ginger turmeric tea. And yes, you can buy ginger tea and turmeric tea, but it's cheaper to get the root, and I like the freshness. So to that beverage, that's where I put the juice of a lemon, and I even put in a little cayenne pepper, and that is how I start every morning. So if you don't think you have time in the morning to make a healthy breakfast, keep in mind that you can make something the night before, even a quick guzzled green smoothie in the car in the morning that you make the night before is better than no breakfast at all. And by the way, if anybody wants to lose a little weight, research shows that skipping on breakfast more likely than not results in a weight gain than a weight loss. So you want to have a good, healthy, well-rounded breakfast in the morning. And I say, because remember, too, if you go all night and don't eat, and hopefully you won't be eating unless you're sleepwalking on some drug and you go to the refrigerator, but in the morning, you need to stoke your metabolism, and that's what the breakfast does. You want to eat within an hour of waking up, or else you continue to lower your basal metabolic rate, which means you're not burning as many calories. So you definitely want a good breakfast in the morning. It doesn't mean you have to overeat. And I have something light, and then I usually go for a long hike, and then I come back, and I might have a little bit more because I actually like to earn my breakfast, which means I usually work out before breakfast, and then you use up all the glucose from the previous meals, and you have an easier time keeping weight down or losing weight. When you know, I'll have the big thing of water, and then I'll go work out. Then I'll come back and make something really healthy.
First thing in the morning, is that the best time to have any kind of carbohydrates? If you're going to be cutting carbs through the day, is it best to have the carbs in the morning?
Yeah, well, yes, and they always have to be good, healthy carbs, not refined carbs, because that will give you all day to burn them off. And then remember, too, refined carbs aren't good for you, but healthy carbs are good for you. That's our body's main source of energy.
What is a healthy carb?
Like oatmeal. Oatmeal would be a great carb.
Okay.
Now, and I'm one. I mean, it's not just like breakfast. I might have steamed vegetables for breakfast or a salad. I always make a green smoothie. And it always has a liquid base. It's usually a tea. It's usually a green tea. And then I always put in a little, whatever I have on hand, but kale and spinach. I might use a little bit of my raw coconut water. And then maybe chia seeds or flax seeds. And then maybe frozen blueberries. You know, these are healthy carbs, the fresh fruit. The blueberries, maybe strawberries. I usually don't put sweetener in it. And so it looks green, but it really tastes like a fruity, delicious drink.
That sounds. I'm getting hungry right now, Bob. I don't know about you, but I went.
This sounds too good.
You know
great.
What else I always put in it? In fact, and on my website, if you go over to recipes in the navigation bar on the right, the first category says spirulina recipes. Now, for 30 years, I have been eating a superfood that comes from Hawaii called spirulina. It has over 500 scientific studies on it. It's supposed to be, according to scientific studies published in journals, the most nutrient-rich food on planet Earth. And for the 30 and a half years I've taken it, I haven't had a cold or a flu. So I always put a serving, which is just a teaspoon of the powder in my smoothie. And they recommend taking 3,000 milligrams a day. That's one teaspoon of the powder, or if you get the 1,000 milligram tablets, that's 3 tablets. But because I'm often under stress, I fly all over the world, I take 6,000 milligrams a day. And mid-afternoon, I take 3,000 more. But that is my favorite superfood on planet Earth. And I see hundreds of people around the world, or they come here. And the changes I see in people's lives by taking this one amazing superfood.
So the spirulina you use basically as a supplement then, right?
Yeah, yes. It's like a multivitamin. One serving has the equivalency of 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. It's got over 100 nutrients in it. It's actually all raw. It's green. And, you know, my grandmother used to say, when you're green inside, you're clean inside. and I've read studies. You'll see, I've got 12 articles about it on my website, but you'll see how it boosts immunity and detoxifies and rejuvenates your body. It helps with anemia. It helps with inflammation. It's quite a remarkable superfood. Now, there are lots of inferior products on the market. You know, you want one that's a bright green, that has a fresh smell, that has an expiration date, that's in dark glass bottles. If it smells a little fishy and it looks gray, that's not what you want. And I get it. Now, please know, I don't own stock in any company. I don't get commissions. But if there's something I take, I tell people about it. So on the Kona coast of Hawaii, there's this award-winning company that makes astaxanthin and spirulina. And it's known in the industry to be the best spirulina on planet Earth, because you need to get spirulina that's cultivated, you know, outdoors in the most pristine environment possible. And I've gone a few times to tour their 90-acre facility. And, you know, remember, I'm 30 and a half years I've been taking their spirulina, and for 10 years their astaxanthin. And those two supplements have replaced about 30 separate bottles on my kitchen counter.
Wow, that's impressive.
You know, and superfoods are those foods that are chock full of nutritional value and are often low in calories. Although avocados aren't low in calories, they're like nature's butter. They are so good for you. You know, produce. Here's a great way, Chris, to think about nutritious food. Produce is the most important health care that your money can buy. And my grandmother always used to say to me, Sunny, look to nature for what to eat. Because she'd say, in nature, you don't find ice cream trees and donut vines and potato chip bushes. But you want to get as many natural, healthy foods as close to the way nature made them. If your plate looks like a fiesta of color, and I don't mean of candy, but of real food, that's perfect. And she also would say to me, she'd say, eat real food, not fake food, and don't eat too much, and then eat mostly plants. And if you do that, you're going to be all right. And like David Wolf, and I've got articles about it on my website, I'm really into emphasizing lots of raw food, because you lose so much nutritional value if you heat and cook foods.
We have a question from the outside. Excuse me, Chris.
Shoot.
This is for Susan. This says, what about the theory or advice to eat fruits all by themselves and not mixed with any other food?
I'll tell you what, I love that question. For people that have no digestive issues, after you eat, you don't get gas and belch and your stomach expands and you just feel great. Maybe you don't need to honor that. But for many people, you do want to eat fruit alone, because here's why. Very simply, in a nutshell, in a coconut nutshell here, with the fruit, it's high in water content, and it digests very quickly and easily in your body. So if you eat it alone, you can get the benefit from it on an empty stomach right away, because it doesn't take long to digest. But if you then pile on all these other foods, carbs and proteins and fats, while you're eating the fruit, then the fruit gets pushed to the side, and then you get this fermentation, and then you don't know why fruit doesn't agree with you, because you keep passing gas, but I guess that gives you quality time alone, perhaps. So if they serve fruit, let's say on a dinner meal as garnish, I'll usually set it aside and not eat it, because I like to eat fruit alone. Now, here's one other caveat. If you make the smoothies and you make the green smoothies, and I always put a lemon each one in addition to fruit and the greens, because the blades of the blender are acting as your digestive system and breaking down all the fiber, that's a way you can blend them, because it doesn't create as much stress and havoc on your digestive system.
When you eat fruits, they digest quicker. They're going to rot in your body if they're sitting on top of other food. So I've seen that firsthand. And all of a sudden, you got the gas issues. And yes, then you need some private time. Number five, visualize your day ahead.
Well, I just love this one. Albert Einstein said, your imagination is a preview of your life's coming attractions. And I love that. You know, so many successful business people and athletes visualize their game, whether it's a hole in one or shooting more baskets. And you can call it mental movies. Emerson said we become what we think about all day long. And most people don't realize, Bob and Chris, how powerful your thoughts are. And studies show that visualizing the end result of something you want to achieve, it enhances motivation, it increases confidence, it primes you for success. And, you know, even a minute of visualizing and positive thinking can help improve your mood and outlook. And the best way to do visualization is after you've meditated, when you've calmed your mind down, you've done a little deep breathing, you go from beta thinking, waking consciousness here, to alpha and sometimes theta, because your subconscious is more easily impressed, and your subconscious has the reasoning power of about a five-year-old child. So you need to visualize the end result. It's not up to you to figure out how to get that house or that relationship or that promotion or the hole in one, whatever it is, but you see the end result. And more than that, and next time I'll be more enthusiastic, I promise. but more than that, you need to feel those feelings of joy and thanksgiving you would feel if that visualization were your current reality, because it's those feelings that bring it to fruition much quicker. And then at the end, and then I also affirm in the positive and present tense, and I end it with this or something better I now accept in my life, acknowledging I might not always know what's best for me, but then I know that the beautiful power of love within me knows what's best. It is so powerful to do visualization every day.
Let me tell you about visualization. I have a client in Scotland who was a quadriplegic. Okay. He's not completely walking yet, but he's got movement of his arms, movement of his legs. And what he does every day is he visualizes driving a car. He visualizes taking a walk by the ocean. He visualizes everything, and he knows that it's going to happen. You take that positive outlook, you put it into a visualization. Your imagination is a manifestation matrix that is what manifests things within your life. So you talk about the whole law of attraction, visualization, your imagination. It all works together to create the final outcome.
That is so true. Absolutely. And that's all about focusing on the positive and what you want to achieve and not on negativity. And you've got to remember, you're always attracting back to yourself the equivalency of what you think, you feel, and believe. And that's why you don't focus on negativity. You don't focus on the pile of bills that you don't know how you're going to pay. And you don't focus on the ailments in your body and wishing you weighed less. You focus on how you want your body and your life to be, and you continue to give thanks for that end result in advance of it coming to fruition, probably just like your client is doing. It is so powerful. It doesn't cost any money. And when you catch yourself thinking negative thoughts, or I can't lose weight because I've tried 100 times before and it doesn't work, you cancel those thoughts and you immediately replace them with a positive words, thoughts, and images, and your life will change for the better.
Okay, let's jump to number seven here. Nourish your body to lose weight with ample sleep. Okay, now within the work that I do, people call up and say, Chris, can you help me lose weight? I says, yes, I can. If you have a real problem losing weight, no matter what you do, your body still has trouble losing weight. But losing weight with ample sleep, tell us about that, please.
You know what, Bob and Chris, this is so big. If anybody wants to lose weight, keep in mind that you'll always be swimming upstream with your weighty issues if you don't get ample sleep. And I'm talking about a solid 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. Too little sleep on a chronic basis. I don't mean once a month or twice a month, but regularly. Makes you hungry, especially for foods that are not good for you, and primes your body to hold on to all the calories you eat. And there was this amazing study done a couple years ago in New York City at Columbia University. And they took clients and had them sleep for 6 hours a night. And those people, they discovered, were 23% more likely to be obese than people who slept between 7 and 9. Those who slept 5 hours were 50% more likely. And those who slept 4 hours or less were 73% more likely to be obese. But remember that adequate sleep improves your memory, promotes longevity, reduces inflammation, spurs creativity, improves performance on physical and mental tasks. It is so important, and there's nothing more restorative for your body than getting good sleep night after night after night. So I say make that non-negotiable. You know, give it a try. Make a one-month commitment. Because if someone's saying, oh, Susan, you don't know what you're talking about. I get 4 to 5 hours or 6 at night, and I don't need any more than that. I know it. But often you don't know how much better you could feel if you got more sleep.
Now, of course, if you're changing your diet, if you're eating a lot more healthier, your body is going to sleep better because now your body is not looking for nutrients at night to do the repair work, the rebuilding. When we're sleeping, we're rebuilding. If there's any damage in your body, anything that needs attention, that's when your body does it. And it takes all these building blocks, all these minerals, all these vitamins, all these nutrients, and it uses that. So if it can't find it, your body is going to be disturbed on certain levels because you're going through anxiety. Your body is like, hey, where's the stuff that I need to fix you?
So
eating properly is going to help you give you a better night's sleep, of course.
Yeah. Now, speaking of eating and bedtime, keep in mind, sleep is when we reset our appetite control. It's when our energies regroup for the next day. And like you just said, sleep is when we rebuild, renew, repair, detoxify, and rejuvenate our body. But if you eat too close to bedtime, and it's great, it's really best to have a good 3 hours of no eating before bedtime, then instead of rebuilding, repairing, renewing, rejuvenating, your body instead is digesting, absorbing, metabolizing, and eliminating, and consequently you often wake up much more tired than when you went to bed at night. So you've got to honor not eating big meals before bedtime. But if you're really famished before bedtime, truly famished, have something light and don't have protein because that is a mental stimulant for your brain. You'd have a carb, like maybe an orange or a pear or some blueberries or a cup of chamomile tea.
Now, there's a lot of people working in certain jobs that they're always changing their shift. 2 weeks they'll be working nights, 2 weeks they'll be working days. Is there any suggestion that you can have for these people to help to stabilize their metabolism and stabilize their body clock?
Yeah, that's really tough. You just want to make sure that when you do get the sleep, you know, we should do a whole show next on Sleepless in America, because I can talk about that for hours. But you want blackout shades. You want your room to be peaceful. You want to do, and here's something else. You don't want to use a cell phone right before you go to sleep. There was a study done a couple years ago at the University of Zurich in Switzerland that said the people that used their cell phones had major sleep disturbances because of the electromagnetic fields given off by the cell phone. They said if you have to use a phone, use a landline, although these days lots of people don't even have landlines anymore. But, you know, ideally you keep a regular schedule. Our body and health thrives on a regular schedule. And if you can't do that, you just do the best you can, remembering not to eat right before sleep because it just impedes the deep sleep. You don't get to those REM levels. You don't get the good release of the human growth hormone, and you'll age really quickly.
Now, here, number 8, adjust your attitude and say goodbye to procrastination. I want to adjust my 4-year-old son's attitude sometimes, let me tell you.
Oh, I love 4-year-olds. Well, first of all, with procrastination, often we put off those jobs we don't want to do. And I say, make your day top heavy. You want to do the least desirable task on your to-do list in the morning, first thing, when hopefully you're more well-rested and your energy level is up. And if you look at it this way, your day will get progressively easier throughout the day because you did the hardest job in the morning. But in addition to not putting things off, because that creates a lot of angst and anxiety, I'm a big believer in, so remember that your attitude is your main mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. And I don't think we should leave the task of counting our blessings for just Thanksgiving Day during the year. Each and every day, take a moment to be grateful for all you have. Maybe you write a thank you note. Maybe you express your gratitude to a loved one, because what you think about consistently brings more of the same back into your life. So focusing on the positive, even during difficult times, is a part of the path to transforming your life.
And a lot of us, with everything that's going on in our lives, it's really hard to do that. You tell somebody, just focus on the positive. They go, yeah, right, Chris, look at my life. I says, well, look at your life. I says, if you were to think more positive.
Alive.
Yeah, as Bob and I said, they're not dropping bombs on you and the ground's not shaking.
That's
don't worry
right.
about it. It is really easy to be negative. That's what we all tend to do right off the bat. We see something, we look for the negative in it.
Yeah.
And instead, you know what? Take one subject and look at the positive first, and then take another look at it and say, you know what? This looks pretty beautiful.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And two things you can do to be more positive is get enough sleep, because if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to naturally be negative. Secondly, get in some exercise during the day. So you release those endorphins, and it will make you literally look at things in a more positive light.
Now, number 9 is an interesting one, and I talk a lot about this myself to people, and that is take time to meditate and breathe deeply.
All right, yeah, and this is the hub of the wheel for me, meditation. It's something my grandmother taught me to do when I was a teenager, and I've done it ever since. And you don't have to be a Buddhist monk to know how to meditate. And I'll just mention in my 2 latest books, The Joy Factor, Wayne Dyer did the foreword to that one, and Walking on Air, The 30-Day Inside and Out Rejuvenation Makeover. And both of those, I talk about meditation. I have a whole chapter on meditation and The Joy Factor. And it's a simple, cost-free practice that's been scientifically proven to help heal the body, boost immunity, reverse aging, lift your mood from negative to positive. And studies even reveal that those people who meditate on a regular basis are physiologically and also look 12 to 15 years younger than someone of the same age who doesn't meditate. It's about getting out of your head. It calms the body. It lowers blood pressure. It makes you less reactive to stress hormones. Chris and Bob, I call it a triple whammy. It's a salve for body, mind, and spirit.
Mm.
Part and parcel of meditation is breathing deeply. You should do that throughout the day. It gives you energy. It makes you more positive. It boosts your immune system. And especially when you meditate, like everyone wants to do right now, take long, slow, deep breaths.
Now, a lot of people ask me about meditation. How do I meditate? I can't clear my head. I can't sit and go, and put my body in a different spot. That's not what it's about. What you need to do is find your meditation. It could be reading a certain book. It could be listening to certain informational DVDs about spirituality. For me, my meditation is taking my pendulum, asking my guides questions, and getting mm-hmm. into that headspace. If you're the one who says, I can't meditate, yes, you can. You just need to find your type of meditation. Now, breathing deeply is very important. If you're a person going through a lot of anxiety and stress, stop for a second and monitor your breathing. Are you breathing or are you shallow breathing? That what shallow breathing does is it builds up the stress in your body. If you deep breathe, what it does is it activates the vagus nerve within your body and tells you to calm down. So breathing is very important. Number one, if you don't breathe, you die. Don't forget that now.
That's so right. Absolutely. And you can even walk. Like my favorite thing to do in life is to be in nature. Why? My exercise of choice is hiking. And you can just go to the local park or your backyard and focus on the plants, the flowers, the beauty around you. Every time you appreciate something like the beauty around you, you boost your immune system. So you could do a little walking meditation at a local park. You could look at a poster of like a Sierra Club poster of a beautiful nature scene. And the more expansive the view of the scene, like the mountains, the ocean, rivers, as opposed to a close-up photo of a plant, that also relaxes your body. That's even a form of meditation.
Yes. Think of meditation as a way to distract you from the day-to-day things that you go through on a daily basis. So
brush your teeth with your opposite hand. Eat a meal with your opposite hand. You know, just get out of the box of the automatic living and live more mindfully.
And that takes us to enjoy daily laughter and tickle your funny bone.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, yeah, everyone has lots of stress these days, but studies show that laughter releases these great endorphins in the body that act as natural stress busters. It gives your heart muscles a good workout. It improves circulation. It fills your lungs with oxygen-rich air, and it helps relieve pain and counteract fear, anger and depression, all of which are linked to illness and stress. And I recently returned from this media tour over in the UK. I was in beautiful England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and I was at in a Scottish bed and breakfast. And on the plaque on the wall in the lobby when I entered, it said an old Scottish saying, and it was, "Angels fly because they take themselves lightly." So we want to do whatever we can, watch funny TV shows, go to funny movies, hang out with friends that make you laugh, and don't forget to laugh at yourself when you make a mistake and do something unexpected, because it's a humbling experience and one that reminds you not to take life quite so seriously.
I laugh at myself every day because I'm hilarious. My middle name should be Larry. I'm hilarious. Now, why don't you tell everybody what your website, where can they access your books?
Yeah, well, it's my name, SusanSmithJones.com. And then first of all, on the sidebar on the right side, right at the top, it says sign up now. And I have these special letters that I send out once a month. And along with signing up, it takes 10 seconds to give me your email address. You'll only hear from me once a month. I don't inundate you with emails, but I send you uplifting, motivating, empowering letters with great photos and inspiration and quotes. And the general public never sees those. You only get them if you sign up. And then on the homepage, check out my current August newsletter. It's free. And if you scroll down the homepage, you'll see ways to get autographed copies of my books and that come with a bonus gift of all 7 of my natural remedy booklets absolutely free. So there's lots on my website, SusanSmithJones.com. And then if you go, one more point, if you go to more articles in the navigation bar, the very first category says rejuvenate in 10 easy steps. And I go through these 10 tips we talked about today, but in much greater detail than we had time to do.
Wonderful. Our guest today has been Dr. Susan Smith Jones. Check out our website, SusanSmithJones.com. Lots of valuable information. This has been A Quantum View. Join us in 2 weeks. This is Chris Kaler out.